Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Lusheen. I'm here again with Ray Mencio for another episode of the NFL Rough Draft podcast. And Ray, how's it going today?
Going very well.
All right, good stuff. So we've got another prospect interview tonight. We're joined by Frank Ginda. He's a former San Jose State linebacker who was also named All Mountain West first team for 2017 after he set the conference record for tackles in a single season. And he led all of NCAA football in tackles, as a matter of fact. He's definitely one of the most underrated players in the entire 2018 draft. So, Frank, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Nice. So, you know, hey, first off, I heard you were in a little bit of an accident before your pro day. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm solid. I'll just, like, explain it a little bit. I was just sitting at the red light with my girlfriend. I was going to take her out to yogurt because I haven't seen her in a long time, just from the combine training and pro day training. And I was in an unfortunate moment, and I took a hit to my side. I got T-boned while I was stopped at a red light. My seatbelt couldn't protect me because the way we got hit, and I kind of banged my left shoulder up, and I smacked my face on the windshield. I have got like 10 stitches, but I'm all good now.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you're doing well now.
Yeah. It's good to hear that you're doing well, Frank. Yep. At your pro day, you had a very impressive pro day. You know, putting up 29 reps, you had a good 40 time, good 3-cone time under 7 seconds. Were you happy with your performance? And you know, if you could just tell us a little bit about your pro day, how it went, how you thought it went.
Yeah, I mean, I had a solid pro day especially after getting that accident. It just sucks that there were some numbers that I had done better in the previous weeks, just turning up to it, and just my shoulder was banged up a little bit. But I mean, I was happy with the numbers I put up, and I think I shocked a lot of people, especially on my 40 time and my change of direction throws, including the 3-cone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the impressive workout numbers, and I'm with you. You know, a 40 time in the high 4.6s is very impressive. And, you know, for people who follow the NFL draft closely, there's always a lot of buzz about Spark scores and 40 times around this time of the year, you know, with all the pro days and the combine in early March. You know, sometimes actually being a good football player gets overlooked by a lot of writers and fans on social media. You know, watching you play, it's really clear that you have a high football IQ and, you know, you play with great instincts. Is that something that your college coaches and maybe even NFL personnel have talked to you about?
Yeah, a lot of people, I'll add on to my college coaches, like, they tell me I just have a great feel for the game, just understanding where the ball's going to go or what play is about to happen. Like you said, I agree with you, like, my football IQ is good, and it helps me play faster than what I'm actually running, you know what I mean?
Frank, you know, one of the other things that's interesting is, you know, coming not from a Power 5 conference and you decided kind of to, you know, cash in and leave school with a year of eligibility left, and obviously leaving on an incredibly high note with a lot of personal achievements. Can you tell us about that process, kind of what went into it and, you know, what discussions maybe you had with your family and what led you to make the decision to enter the NFL draft?
Yeah, so, I mean, first off, I feel like I'm ready to play in the NFL, and that's the first thing I took into consideration, just all my hard work growing up and everything I put in to this and for this moment. And that time when I was thinking about declaring, it was pretty surreal, and I was trying to make the best decisions possible. A lot of factors played into it, including making sure that I'll get my degree after and just trying to help support my family because my family's going through some rough times right now. And that was my main reason why I left is because, one, my family, and two, I had a great year.
Yeah, you certainly did have a great year. So, you know, I know the 49ers sent Johnny Holland out to your pro day. So,
yes, sir.
And you don't have to answer, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but is there a team or a few teams that have shown a lot of interest in you during the process, or, you know, do you have any visits lined up?
No, I mean, I'm actually shocked that I haven't got no visits lined up. I wouldn't say any teams really, really interested in me, because if they were, they would fly me out. I'd be scheduled right now for a visit, but I'm not. So I'd say, I mean, there is a few teams out there I won't mention that are pretty interested. They contact me here and there just to, like, get to know me a little bit better.
And just through this process, have you gotten a feel of, you know, me and Mike in our conversations think that, you know, you're versatile enough to play a lot of different roles, whether it's in a 3-4 base or 4-3 base. Where do you feel like you're best suited to play, where you're most comfortable playing? Where do you want to play?
I mean, I'm comfortable in any scheme, just because if you put on the film, I mean, I played 3-4, I played 4-3 in my 3 years at San Jose State, and I would rush off the edge, I'd man cover tight ends, I would stack, I'd be an actual middle linebacker in like a 4-3, stuff like that. Just like, I feel like I'm versatile enough to do anything a team wants me to do.
Yeah, we agree with you. I really like you as a fit at 4-3, middle linebacker, or even the strong side in the 4-3 and inside in the 3-4.
Yeah.
But, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, you're definitely versatile, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think you're such an underrated prospect in this draft. You know, who was the best player that you had to play against last year, in your opinion?
Rashad Penny. He's a really good football player. The way he runs the ball, you don't know where he's going to bounce, where he's going to hit in the hole when he plays. You don't know where he's going to cut back to. He does a great job of running north and south as well.
Who do you think?
Yeah, he definitely.
I'm sorry. Is there anyone that you model your game after? Someone you idolized growing up? You know, someone that you just wanted to be like, whether it's someone who's in the NFL now or an older school player?
Yeah, I mean, I looked up to Luke Kuechly growing up, even when he was at Boston College. I really loved his game, but recently I started studying a little bit of Bobby Wagner. I'm looking for coaching, and I kind of remind him, because they played together at Utah State, and then he said that I remind him of Bobby. So, I mean, I started looking into him, just the way he plays. We're about the same size. And I just saw the same traits that my coach saw. So I kind of started trying to mold my game after him.
Very good. That's awesome.
Hey, so what was your experience playing with Andre Chasseret? And did you guys hang out off the field? And, like, how was he as a teammate? I mean, he's obviously a very good player.
Yeah, he's a great dude. That's one thing. He was actually my roommate for a year when we were in the dorms when I first came to college, and he was honestly one of my first friends here. And, I mean, overall, he's a great, outgoing dude. You never see that dude not have a smile on his face. He's an awesome dude, great player. I think he's going to shock a lot of people when he gets to the NFL.
You know, kind of following up from before about, you know, visits and whatnot, what did you think at your pro day, like, about – who was there and everything that was kind of accomplished by you? And, you know, even if you want to chime in about some of your teammates that maybe were there as well, you know, tell us a little bit more about that whole experience. That, you know, not as necessarily the, you know, your actual performance, because you had a great performance, but the rest of the process that day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great process. It started off, I went to Exos in San Diego, training a lot of top guys. Me and Andre went down there, and, yeah, I mean, it was a whole great experience over there. I mean, I met a lot of new people, a lot of new friends. I became close to a couple guys that are big names, like Sam Hubbard and Leon Jacobs and a couple other guys, James Looney from Cal. Those are all my guys now. And then once I came back up here after the combine to get ready for my pro day, it was just great being around my guys again. It was just, I really missed my guys. Those were my brothers for the last 3 years. And it was great, like, working out with them for the last 3 weeks for the pro day, and then do the one last go around on that field with them. It was a great feeling.
Very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it's got to be pretty cool, you know, looking forward, you know, you guys, like you mentioned, Leon Jacobs and a few other guys, you know, who are going to be drafted later this month, it's going to be kind of cool to look back on that, you know, a few years from now and, you know, remember going through this process together. So that sounds like a pretty pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, Frank, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. You know, again, you're really – and when I say underrated, I mean in media circles. You know, I know you're not getting a lot of media attention, but despite what you said about the visit, I know the NFL scouts and NFL personnel people are very aware of, you know, how good you are. You know, I've said many times, you know, worst case scenario, I see you as a two-down linebacker in the NFL. You know, you play the run tremendously. And we really feel like you're going to get drafted, and your pro day really kind of solidified that in my mind. You know, you did a great job. So we really appreciate you joining us tonight, and, you know, best of luck to you later this month.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Frank.
All right, take care, Frank.
Question.
Yes?
One last question. I'm curious, you know, through the process, you know, of your recruitment process, and I know you did track and field and you played basketball, I believe, in high school as well. How did you end up choosing San Jose State?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a loyal guy, so, I mean, when I first got the call from San Jose State, it was just kind of a relief off my chest, all my hard work and stuff. It was like, I don't know how to really explain it. It just felt like home. Like, once I visited, once I talked to the coaches and stuff, like, it felt like home, and kind of like, it wasn't like teams were running after me. They weren't running, like, other teams, they weren't running after me just because Washington was talking to me, or Cal, or Boise, or, you know what I mean? Like, it was a school that genuinely really was interested in me and who I was as a player, person, and all that. I just felt at home.
That's good. Obviously, that's important. And, you know, and my last question for you, too, would be, you know, I think that, you know, with your ability and, you know, one of the things that you would have to do is become a great special teams player. And I think you have the skill set to be a very good special teams player. Do you like playing special teams? And how ready are you to think that you could contribute at the NFL level on the special teams?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love special teams. I used to have fun doing that at practice. I actually really enjoyed it. I've even done a scout team. Like, I just like doing that stuff. Like, I just think it's fun. Like, just running down the field like a bat out of hell, just coming after somebody. It sucks that I couldn't do it too much in college because I was only strictly on punt. And then here and there early on, I was on kickoff and kickoff return. But, I mean, I'm really, really excited to get after it at the next level on special teams.
Good. You know, and you just kind of, as Mike said, you know, we've been following the draft for a long time. And, you know, there's certain players that always kind of jump off the page at you. And, you know, there's guys that get drafted. The guys that get drafted in the first, second, third round, they're important. But the guys that win you championships, they're usually drafted later on because those are the guys that are going to come in and contribute, you know, on special teams, and they're going to develop into players. And, you know, the same thing. Mike and I agree that he believes that you're going to be a starter in this league. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to get drafted, you know, at some point during the process. So congratulations just going through. Congratulations making the decision to enter the NFL draft. I know that it was probably, you know, it's a hard process. So, but, you know, we're pulling for you. We're rooting for you. And, you know, best of luck the rest of the way.
Yep. I appreciate it, Mike and Ray. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And, you know, you have a good night. And, you know, we'll be following you close. Good luck.
Yep. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
All right. Take care, Frank. So that was Frank Ginda, again, linebacker from San Jose State. And, you know, he was a tank there. I mean, like I said earlier, he broke the conference record for tackles in a single season, led all of NCAA football last year in tackles. And, you know, he's a great run defender, and he showed really, really impressive athleticism at his pro day. So we really feel like he's going to get drafted. So, Ray, do you have any draft notes you want to touch on before we take off here?
Yeah. So, sorry for cutting you off at the end. I felt like this is one of those guys that has a good story, and nobody knows it. You know, he's telling us that he's not really getting a lot of conversations. I think because no one, you know, this, I think this is where fans get confused sometimes. This process doesn't start for teams in February or March. You know, it doesn't start when, hey, the combine's here, we might as well start paying attention to the draft. This is a year-long process. And I don't think that teams really saw or projected him to come out early. And, you know, I think that he made the right decision. I know he's from, you know, not from a Power 5 conference, but I think he made the right decision because he had such a good year, and he looked – he had a great year. He carried that defense most of the year, and he has a nose for the football. He's a smart football player. He knows what he's doing. And, I just think that's – teams are now starting to catch up and be like, all right, who is this guy? Let's find out a little bit more about him. You go to his pro day, and you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, and not only did he lead the country in tackles, not only is he a smart football player and have a nose for the football, but he's a pretty good athlete too. So where does he fit? And for me, he really reminds me, and this is, you know, being a Steelers fan, it's, you know, slightly biased. He reminds me of Tyler Matakevich, you know, a guy who had nose for the football, hard worker, going to cut his teeth in special teams. And I truly believe this kid gets drafted. And I think he could get drafted a lot earlier than people think, because that's a guy that you're going to plug in on your special teams units, and he's going to make plays. He's going to be able to back up multiple positions on your linebacker, whether you're in a, regardless of your scheme. I think, he might struggle, in coverage initially in the NFL, but I think he has the athleticism to kind of figure all that out. Just being able to watch him, again, I didn't know a lot about him coming into the whole process, and he really pops out when you put on the film, though.
Yeah, I agree, and I'll actually, to add to that, I think he can contribute as a starter early in his career.
I agree.
Like I mentioned, I think he may in the beginning of his career have to come off the field on third down. But I don't see any reason why he can't play on the inside on first and second down, right off the bat, and on top of the special teams value and everything else you mentioned. We just finished what we called the Day 3 NFL Draft, and it was you and I and Doug Martz, who's known as the NFL Draft Guru. So for those of you who don't know, every year the Huddle Report, and I think they've had their rankings published in Sports Illustrated a couple of times, but every year they do a ranking for accuracy. And, Ray and I have been fortunate enough to finish first a couple of times, or once, actually, I've given us too much credit. But Doug has finished first a couple of times, and he's actually first overall over the last 5 years. And, again, these rankings include Mayock and Kiper and Todd McShay, anyone you could think of. So the premise was we used Doug's board. We took his top 100, and the three of us drafted teams based on guys who weren't included in that top 100. We called it the Day 3 Draft because this year the 100th pick is the last pick of the third round. And, Frank Ginda was – one of my early picks, for all the reasons that we talked about tonight. And, it was an interesting process. Ray, I want to get your thought on – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just in case people follow that for us, we were limited to a 40-man roster. That's what we did for that. So, you had to be kind of thrifty and choosing your players wisely. It wasn't like – we were taking a full roster of players. So, you know, your selection of Frank Ginto makes sense because he could play multiple spots and, you know, be a special teams contributor. So I just wanted to make sure
right,
that everyone
correct.
Knew that it was based off of 40 guys. So
right, and we've got our roster summaries coming pretty shortly. Mine's already up on NFLRoughDraft.com, and then Ray and Doug are working on theirs. So, you know, if some of you guys don't follow, you know, past the first couple rounds as closely as, you know, as closely as we do, might be something that you're interested in checking out. So, Ray, there is a little bit of news today that I wanted to get your opinion on. So, Kentavious Street, the versatile defensive lineman from North Carolina State, actually news kind of broke today that he's got a significant knee injury. And, you know, it hasn't been mentioned what exactly the injury is, but if it is significant and say it may put him on the PUP list or even, you know, half season or even full season IR for next year, how do you think that affects his draft stock?
You know, it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him because it's an unfortunate too, because he is a really, really good player. You know, he is pretty special. You know, he wasn't going to be going in round one, but I really thought that he had a chance to go maybe in, you know, around the fourth, fifth round. I still think he gets drafted because of his, you know, just because of his natural skill. You know, he has a low center of gravity. He has violent hands. He's a versatile player, can play in, you know, different scheme sets. He's not going to, you know, get to the quarterback a lot. You know, he's just not that type of pass rusher. You know, he's just a solid all-around player. You know, so I think it is going to hurt him. You know, that's unfortunate. You know, I don't even know, you know, you feel bad for, you know, any player when something like this happens. When, you know, when their draft stock gets hurt because of a mistake they made, you know, like Laramie Tunsil made a couple years ago with the mask and all, you know, that's unfortunate. You know, when someone has a knee injury, you know, maybe he was training. We don't know the full story. You just feel bad for him. And you know, he's a, you know, again, he was one guy that I took in that day three mock draft that we did with Doug because of his versatility. And I think that he's going to be a good NFL player. I just hope he goes to the right situation, that someone's going to be patient with him, because, you know, don't rush him along, and you make sure to get the guy healthy.
Right. And, you know, just to touch on his versatility, you know, going back to what you said about him maybe not having a lot of pass rush ability from the outside, I think in a 4-3, you push him to the inside on third down, and I think he does give you some push there on third down if he's playing defensive tackle. You know, the three technique. And, you know, I agree with you. This is definitely going to hurt his stock. But I still think he gets drafted, because I think, you know, one of the big things that people don't understand about day three in particular of the draft is you're not always drafting these guys to contribute right away. Okay, you know, I think people get in the mindset of, oh, you know, we've got a first-round pick. You know, what need is my team going to fill, you know, that's going to help them next year? Well, once you get down to the mid rounds and especially the late rounds, you're really drafting those guys to replace guys who are already on your roster, or still on your roster, I should say. So I think, you know, a team that needs, you know, maybe a 4-3 team that needs a base end who could set the edge against the run and a guy who they can push inside, like I said, on third down to rush the passer a little bit, you know, maybe they've got someone who already fills that position, but he's going to be a free agent after next season. You know, you take a chance on him, you draft Street, you throw him on IR for a year, your free agent leaves. Now you've got his replacement in-house, you know, for cheap on his rookie contract.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes those things are a blessing in disguise, but – you know, you definitely want to be 100% healthy when the draft rolls around, just so that you maximize your value. it's we're getting down to crunch time now with the draft process. So, you know, with a lot of things coming out with pro days, you know, one of the guys that Mike, you know, and I talked about recently was, you know, down at BYU, Jonah Trinneman had a blazing fast 40 time, and he almost set a world record in broad jump. He jumped 12 feet. He's not a big guy, but Mike, what do you think about a guy like that? You know, someone who's not really on the radar, and all of a sudden he has this ridiculously productive pro day where he opens eyes. Where do you see, you know, not even him specifically, but anyone like him, where do they end up going?
Yeah, you know, with him specifically, look, on our site right now, we've got 400 players ranked. It'll be more by the time we get to the draft, but we're getting to the point where, you know, we're starting to really finalize these rankings. He really wasn't on my radar, to be completely honest. I have to definitely go and do a little bit more research on him as a player. But I think anytime, you know, a guy has a big-time pro day, that kind of comes out of nowhere, it puts them on the map. Okay, it forces NFL executives to go back and do exactly what I just said I need to do. Okay, they're going to take a closer look at him as a player. And I think even if, you know, they don't see much, I think they'll still get a shot in camp. You know, a good example is that, you know, USC had a backup guard. I believe his name is Jordan Simmons, and this was last draft. Okay, so the guy didn't really play that much. He was a backup, and he just had a phenomenal pro day. So he didn't get drafted because, you know, he was a backup guard in college. But, you know, the Raiders brought him into camp, and he stuck around for a while, and I believe they even re-signed him at the end of this year, you know, to a futures contract, and they're going to bring him to camp again. You know, if you show that you have NFL athleticism, then there are going to be coaches out there that think that they can mold the players into, you know, quality players at the next level.
Absolutely. It's 100% accurate. You know, when you have world-class athleticism, you're going to, like you said, you're going to make people go back and say, you know what, maybe, you know, this is a player, you know, just in that respect, you know, how can we use him and what can he do for us? You know, maybe he's, again, we see this a lot with quarterbacks where you see a quarterback come out and you say, well, he can't be a quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, he's got pretty good ability on the football field, a la Julian Edelman. You know, what can we do with this player? And, you know, with Trinneman, you know, he had just over 300 yards receiving, but, you know, could he be a return specialist? Could he play, you know, safety in the NFL and basically, you know, play single high and cover the entire back of the end of the field? So it's, you know, this is an interesting time when you could get down and find these small school guys. And I say small school, you know, I just mean not Power 5 conference. And this is where these guys open your eyes. And tonight was a good example. We had a guy who had a nice conversation with us who deserves a lot more credit than he's been getting from the media. And, you know, he's going to be playing on Sundays.
Absolutely. So, Ray, we heard from Frank Ginda tonight. You know, again, the record-breaking linebacker from San Jose State. We talked a little bit about Kentavious Street and his unfortunate knee injury, and we still both agree that he should be drafted, but probably now we're looking at like the seventh round, maybe a redshirt year, so to speak. We talked about our day three NFL draft with Doug Marks, the NFL draft guru. And, you know, you can look for the recaps of our three teams on NFLRoughDraft.com. You could also look forward to, we'll have brand new seven-round mock draft coming out, and a depth chart that it even includes top players that we have ranked as priority free agents. Ray, we have a lot of work to do, but great work tonight. Any quick closing comment before we sign off?
Just keep everyone better keep their nose to the NFLRoughDraft.com. You could get some different insights, especially on day three, guys.
See you guys. See you next time.